At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly with you on a Thursday night. We're taking up till 7:30 tonight. Little Penn State Notre Dame college football semifinal playoff action coming up at 7:30. Is there any way both these teams could lose tonight? Like, is there any outcome in which both of them could lose? And we'll have a side topic coming up off this game tonight, Penn State Notre Dame. If you've listened to me before, I think you know who I'm kind of grudgingly pulling for in this one tonight. We'll break that one down before we get out of here at 7:30. But a lot to get to in the next hour and a half or so. Obviously, talking a lot about Eagles Packers Sunday at the Link. This playoff game closer to taking place Sunday at 4:30. And you know, as we start the show tonight, we get some breaking news in the last couple minutes. Eagles injury report is in. Practice report for today. Jalen Hurts, a full participant in today's practice, needs that final medical clearance at the end of the week. But barring any unforeseen setback here, Jalen Hurts is going to be on the field Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. And the conversation that has kind of dominated things today, heard them talking about it today on the midday show, heard Spike and Ike talking about it last 4 hours here on the afternoon show, is with Jalen, with his situation, not playing for about a month, missing the last few games, especially after a concussion, do you consider dialing him back going into this game on Sunday? Do you run it less with him? Less designed quarterback runs? Do you modify the offense at all to protect Jalen Hurts? And I'd love to get your take on that, 215-592-9494. Should that be part of the game plan going in? Is, hey, we have a quarterback who just suffered a concussion 3 weeks ago. We want to make sure he stays upright. We need to make sure we get him through the playoff run. You know, do you dial it back? Do you modify your offense at all this week? And I've heard the idea thrown out there, heard it debated, and I understand in theory why people would think that way, but I'll be totally clear here. The Eagles should absolutely not do that. They should not adjust the game plan in any way, and they should go into this game without any thought that they need to change any part of their offense to protect Jalen Hurts. And I want to get your take, 215-592-9494. When the Eagles are game planning for this game, should they have Jalen Hurts' health in mind? Or should that be part of the game plan? Because, hey, you look at it, you obviously don't want your quarterback getting hurt. But this is the playoffs. You cannot go into a game limiting your ability to move the ball in any way. You got to score points, and you cannot limit the type of things that you're calling offensively because you're worried about Jalen Hurts getting hurt. If Jalen Hurts is good to go, if he is practicing fully, if he is medically cleared, he's got to go. He should be utilized in design runs. I think that should be a big part of the game plan on Sunday, is the Eagles should have Jalen Hurts running the football. They should have him running the football early. That's a big part of this offense. And this is another thing about Jalen that I think we all need to recognize and that some people need to admit, is that he needs his legs to be special. The Eagles cannot afford to dial him back. They cannot afford to let him sit in the pocket because let's face it, let's be honest. Jalen Hurts is kind of average if he's made into a pocket passer. That's not what makes him a special player. What makes Jalen Hurts a special player is that he is multidimensional. He's able to utilize his legs. It's what separates him from a lot of the quarterbacks in the league. And you cannot go into this game because he suffered a concussion a few weeks ago. And obviously, you take that stuff seriously. But if he is medically cleared and he is able to go, I'm not going into this game worried about how do we protect Jalen? How do we make sure Jalen stays on the field? You need Jalen to be his full self. You need Jalen Hurts to be the quarterback that we have seen go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. You know how he's able to do that? By utilizing all the tools in his tool belt. By being able to run the ball and throw the football. That margin, the margin of him being the best quarterback on this roster, shrinks dramatically. If you were taking that element away, if you were making him a pocket passer, it makes him less of a quarterback. And the Eagles cannot afford to do that. And let's face it, he's not the best pocket passer here. Jalen Hurts' strength is not sit in the pocket, run a West Coast-style offense, get the ball out quickly. I mean, the guy holds the ball more than any quarterback in the league. And, hey, that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it results in sacks. Sometimes it results in throwaways. But a lot of times it results in him being able to make a play with his legs. He's not a quarterback who is strong at getting the ball out quickly. You need to be able to take advantage of his strengths, and you cannot worry about what could happen if Jalen were to take a hard shot. If he's cleared, he's cleared. He's got to go. And if he is on the field and you are not fully utilizing his skills, you're hurting the football team. And if you want to get in 215-592-9494, if he's good to go, you got to utilize Jalen Hurts fully. And want to know if you agree. And this is the thing, man. You just can't change what you do. This offense is best when Jalen is using his legs. And when the defense knows he is willing to run, when the defense knows that he is willing to move out of the pocket, that he's willing to make those plays, it changes everything. Helps the passing game. You look at where Jalen Hurts ranks against man coverage, he's third in the league. A big part of that is because against man coverage, the defense is always worried about Jalen breaking the pocket. Think about that Carolina game where he didn't have a very good game throwing the ball. The most explosive play he was able to make in that game is against man coverage, send guys down the field, he's able to run for 36 yards. That was a huge play in that football game. The threat of him taking off is something that you cannot go into the game. Jalen can't have it in his head that, hey, I'm not going to run as much because I want to protect myself. And the coaches can't have it in his head that that's something that he should be thinking going into this football game. You need to be able to do that stuff. And we've seen as well what his legs, what his ability and his willingness to run the football and use his legs does for the running game. I mean, we've talked about that a ton over the last couple weeks. Look at what has happened to the running game with Jalen out of the lineup, with a guy like Kenny Pickett in there, with Tanner McKee in there. And I know this game against Sunday, against the Giants on Sunday, there's only so much that you can take from that. You have a bunch of backups in there. But the Eagles didn't run the ball all that effectively. Part of the reason they are able to run the ball as well as they're able to run it is because Jalen going around the backside, Jalen able to take the ball on a read option or something like that, makes a defense respect his legs. It makes them respect his ability to run the football. And if the Eagles were to go into this game and not fully utilize that, that would be a huge mistake. You gotta let him loose. You gotta let it rip. This is the playoffs, man. And guess what? I understand, well, hey, we're not going to win a Super Bowl if we don't have Jalen Hurts healthy for the entire playoff run. I totally get that. You know how else you're not going to win a Super Bowl? If you don't win the game this week. You got to win the football game this week. You got to fully use Jalen Hurts, and you got to allow him to do the things that makes him special. And I look at this game specifically. When you talk about the fast starts, because I think this is another big part of the thing as well, is the Eagles need to get off to a fast start. And I look at that Rams game. Well, you remember the first drive after the Eagles get a turnover. They go down the field, end up getting a field goal, but you get points in the first drive, which with this team this season has been somewhat of a rarity. You know what the Eagles did a lot on that drive? Jalen Hurts ran the football. They had designed runs for Jalen Hurts. And for a quarterback who I think is a slow starter, and this is just my personal opinion here, I think Jalen is the biggest reason for the Eagles' slow starts. I think that he starts games slow. It takes him a little while to get into a rhythm. And I think one of the things that gets him into a rhythm quickly is when he takes off and runs the football. When he's able to get that feel, he's able to get involved. Because he's not the prototypical pocket passer. He's not a guy who is going to take the three-step drop, get the ball out quickly, and get into a rhythm that way. He's got to take off. He's got to run the ball a little bit. He's got to get into a rhythm that way. And I think when you look at this part of it, the Eagles need to fully utilize Jalen Hurts. I get people want to keep him healthy. I get that you want him there for the whole playoff run. But guess what? It doesn't matter if you don't win this week. You need to win this football game. The offense is at its best when Jalen Hurts is using his legs. And Jalen Hurts is only special if he is a multi-dimensional quarterback. If you make him one-dimensional, if you make him a pocket passer, if you're not utilizing him in the run game, you're running straight out under center runs to Saquon Barkley, you are hurting your offense. The Eagles cannot do that. They need to fully utilize Jalen's abilities and fully allow him to be himself. And hey, if he's not able to do those things, then he shouldn't be playing. I think he will be able to do it, obviously, medically cleared. If he's medically cleared, he should be good to go, fully use Jalen Hurts, let him run the football. And honestly, I would have designed runs for Jalen Hurts early. I would have him carry the football early. I would have him fully involved in this offense. And not that you want to get hurt, but I don't think it would be a horrible thing to, you know, take a little bit of a shot. You know, you kind of get that confidence. Players talk about that all the time, where you come back from an injury, regardless of what it is. You know, sometimes you got to feel it a little bit to kind of get the flow back. And I think with Jalen Hurts, the first thing that I would do, first play, I'd have a designed run for Jalen on Sunday. 215-592-9494, if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Are you limiting Jalen Hurts? Are you dialing him back on Sunday? Out of, I guess, fear of re-injury, coming off concussion, or you're letting them loose, you're letting them go. 215-592-9494. Get to the phones in a moment here. But first, check in with Francisco Rojas, producing the show tonight. What's going on, Fran? What do you think about this? Are you letting Jalen go, or are you playing scared on something?
Are you kidding me? We're playing scared? It's the playoffs. The Packers are a good team, TK. You gotta use your $250 million quarterback to what he was paid to do, which is he's able to be a dual threat, which he does. You know, he runs the ball very well. He's a solid passer, and that's what's going to make this offense, you know, efficient outside of giving Saquon Barkley the ball in the ground game. But that's Jalen Hurts. That's him being able to run and throw the football. And look, he's had, what, is it three? It'll be a month, right? It'll be a month on Sunday?
Yeah.
Since Washington?
About a month, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, obviously, you're recovering
three weeks.
3 weeks, right. So, you're recovering from the injury, but still, like, let's get going. It's the playoffs. Packers are a good team. You cannot play scared. So, Jalen, you got to go full throttle.
Yeah. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, how are you handling this with Jalen Hurts on Sunday? Are you running your full offense? Are you letting them go? Or are you dialing it back a little bit? To me, you can't. It can't be a situation where you're going into this game and holding anything back. Like, if Jalen Hurts is good to go, he needs to play because it's what makes him a special player. And that's the biggest thing here. And I get wanting to keep him healthy. I get wanting to keep him upright. But you know what's more important? Having your quarterback, who has shown at times can play like one of the best in the league, you need him playing like that. And Jalen Hurts, this is what people need to acknowledge as well. I don't think he's capable of playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the league if you take away his ability to run the football. And that's not a knock on him. That's just the reality. I mean, you could say the same thing about Lamar Jackson. You could say the same thing about Josh Allen. You could say the same thing, even though I know he doesn't necessarily run the football a ton, but uses his legs to extend plays. You could say the same thing about a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Like, quarterbacks, a lot of the best ones in the league, they need to run. They need to use their legs. Because without that threat, they become a lot more normal. They become kind of average. Look at Lamar Jackson last year in the AFC Championship game. He didn't run the ball a ton. The Chiefs were able to contain him from a standpoint of using his legs, and Lamar Jackson became very ordinary. I don't think the Packers' defense is going to be able to do that to Jalen. I think the only way that happens is if Jalen or the Eagles come in with that approach where, hey, We got to play it safe. We got to play it cautious. Coming off the concussion, I just don't think that you can do that. And again, I think getting Jalen into a rhythm early is really important. And it's cliche in a lot of respects to say, "Hey, how you start a playoff game is important." We say that all the time, and of course, you want to get a lead in a playoff game. But in this matchup in particular, I think it's critical. I mean, I was a guest last night on a station in Green Bay, and they were talking about how Green Bay's strength is that they're fast starters. Like, that's what's kind of worked for them this year. The Eagles, we know here in Philadelphia, they've started games slow. I think the first quarter is going to tell you all you need to know. Like, if the Eagles can jump on top of Green Bay and you can get a lead, I think this game could be somewhat non-competitive. And you look at with Jalen in a game like the Rams game, as I mentioned, with the running element of it, also with the passing game against Pittsburgh. You came out throwing, you got Jalen in a rhythm early, and that kind of carried itself all throughout the game here. And I think with a guy like Saquon Barkley and with this offense, it is tempting at times to say, hey, we're going to come out early, we're going to give the ball to 26, that's who we are. I would use Saquon Barkley in the first two drives of this game more like a decoy than anything else. And I know that might sound crazy. You might think I'm a moron for saying such a thing. But I think you need to get Jalen going early in this game. That would be my number one priority. If I'm Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore sitting in meetings this week, the number one thing that I'm trying to accomplish is figuring out how can we get Jalen going early in the running game? How can we get Jalen going in the passing game? And I think you need to feature him. I think you need to feature him a lot on those first couple series. And if that comes at the expense of Saquon, that's fine. You get going with Jalen, then you hammer Saquon later in the game. That's the approach that I would take. 215-592-9494. But when it comes to Jalen Hurts, how are you approaching things on Sunday? You holding him back a little bit, or are you going full throttle? I think you need to go all out. It's what makes him special. You cannot take away the things that make him a quarterback that is different from all the rest. Let's get it started on the phones here with Anthony in Southwest Philly. What's up, Anthony?
TK, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. Happy New Year. I don't think I've spoken to you since the New Year, but...
Yeah, Happy New Year, Anthony. Hey, thanks, man.
Thank you. Listen, I did speak to you because I just asked you the other day if you get the praise from your wife at home, you know. Remember when I called in and I said that I agreed with you. And I was like, I don't know if you get the praise that I'm about to give you
okay.
at home.
Oh, yeah, I don't get any praise at home, yeah.
Hey, man, I don't need it. It's all good. But listen, I agree with you 1,000%. Only thing I would say is this, right? If you look back at if everybody wants to go with the narrative, not you, but everybody else, right? They want to go with the narrative. We need to see Jalen pass. We need to see all this and that, right? I just went and watched the Pittsburgh game the other day. I went and rewatched it. I think people need to go back and look at the beginning, the first half of that Pittsburgh game, and look at not only what Jalen did in the passing game in the first half of that game, but you could tell that everything that he was doing, it was Kellen Moore scheming these things into what he wanted done because of all of the noise that was going on at that time, right? So the point being is that, listen, Jalen is unique. He's a jack of all trades. If you go back to his college career, he was never a guy that stood in the pocket and just slung the ball all over the place. But what he did everywhere he's been is win. Now, Ike said something on the call right before you got on, which is why I called in the first place, right? Ike said, I don't think that we're an elite offense. I completely disagree with that. And I know that there's no way you can say it outside of, you know, saying maybe Jalen is maybe not an elite quarterback. Here's the thing about Jalen. Jalen can get to whatever level you need him to get to win. That's what makes him special. If it's scoring 20 points a game because I know that my defense is elite and I don't got to go out here and be Superman, that's what he's going to do. Now, one last thing I want to say here. I'm a basketball guy. If you look back in college basketball, right, at North Carolina, 03, 04, 05 team, to me, is one of the best teams of all time. They have five McDonald's All-Americans on that team. You look at the Final Four team.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms, actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love.
And George Mason that went on a run in college basketball. You look at Stephen F. Austin. You look at the West Virginia team. All these teams that went on deep runs in college basketball over the years, they had superb scorers on them. But what they did more than anything else was they said, we don't have to beat you scoring. We can defend the hell out of you, and then we can get to whatever level you can get to in terms of scoring the ball. That's how I see this Eagles team. So I think we have to be who we've been. We can't go out there and ask Jalen to stand in the pocket and just sling the ball all over the field. I don't know if we need to start the game with him running, but I think the read option has to be implemented. And Kellen Moore is more of the X factor in this game to me than Jalen.
Yeah, no, Anthony, I hear you, man, and appreciate the call, and thanks a lot. And yeah, I think, you know, as far as them doing enough, like, yeah, they've done enough to this point, but who knows? I mean, in one game sample size, anything could happen. Like, the defense could have a rough day. I'm going into this game offensively thinking, hey, we got to put up a lot of points. Because Eagles might have to put up a lot of points in this game. I mean, that Green Bay offense is pretty good. They're pretty dynamic, and when they're clicking, I mean, you just look at the games they played. They typically score high 20s, low 30s. That's typically the way it goes. Now, this is the best defense they've faced in a while, and hopefully the Eagles' defense can hold them down. But I think the offense is going to need to score points in this game. And again, I think so many times with this Eagles offense, they go as Jalen goes, especially early. And I know not everybody's going to agree with me on this. I think Jalen's the biggest reason for the slow starts. I know some people have blamed Kellen Moore for that. I don't think the play calling has been, you know, horribly bad early in games. The consistent thing that I have seen is when Jalen comes out slow and Jalen struggles early, that's when the offense struggles early. And that's why I would make it my number one objective not to establish Saquon. I'm not worried about establishing Saquon. Saquon will get going at some point. He always does. Whether that happens in the second quarter, happens in the second half, not worried about that. But if I'm Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni, the number one thing I'm worried about, how do we get our quarterback in a rhythm early? And I would come out the first couple possessions, I'd come out with a lot of passes, I'd come out with a lot of designed runs, and when I say passes, I say, get him those quick reads, very much like the Pittsburgh game, where you come out, Calcaterra, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, three passes for 50 yards on the first three plays of the football game. I think that's critically important to this team's success. Because when you look at their best offensive games this year, whether it's Cincinnati, the Rams, the Pittsburgh game, it's when Jalen has come out hot. It's when Jalen has started fast. And I would not come into this game with Saquon Barkley as the focal point. Wouldn't know how I feel about that as well. Would you go away from Saquon early in this game? I would. First off, that's exactly where Green Bay's going to be focused. I mean, look at week one. Saquon Barkley lit them up. I guarantee in all their defensive meetings this week, their conversations are centered around how are we going to shut down Saquon Barkley? Well, I'm worried about getting Jalen Hurts going. Get him those quick passes. Get him some designed runs. You know, let him feel a hit or two. Get him into that rhythm. That's what you need to do if you're the Eagles. Get Jalen established early and don't hold anything back. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Get to some more calls in a few minutes here, but I did want to introduce our side topic for tonight. Because as I mentioned, tonight 7:30, the first semifinal game of the college football playoff. Tomorrow night, you got Texas, Ohio State. But tonight at 7:30, here right here on WIP, Penn State, Notre Dame. And I walk into our station today, and I go to my little studio where I prepare for the show. And I see one of our great producers and video guys, Justin Morgenstein, with his Penn State fleece on. And, I mean, Justin's all Penn State'd up. You know, he's a Penn State diehard. I mean, as much as anybody. But with the Penn State fans and the Notre Dame fans, I think most can agree, pretty annoying fan bases. Would you agree with that, Fran, or no?
So a 13-year-old wouldn't have said this because in middle school, I had like four different college football teams that I liked.
Well, that's not surprising at all.
Yeah, and it included Notre Dame and Penn State. So, but now, 100%. We are, oh my gosh.
Well, this is the thing. I used to root for Penn State growing up too. And then I went to college.
And you went to Temple.
But it really doesn't have anything to do about Temple. I don't care about Temple football. I know Temple's football team stinks, whatever. But I knew a lot of people that went to Penn State, and they were annoying about their Penn State fandom. And then my brother went to Penn State, and he's extremely annoying about his Penn State fandom. And Notre Dame fans, everybody knows that they're annoying. I used to work as an usher at the Link, and the worst fan base I ever dealt with, any of the games that I worked, was the Notre Dame fans at the Notre Dame Temple game. So in the next hour or so, give me an annoying fan base. Can be any sport, college or pro. Give me an annoying fan base. What's the first one that comes to mind, Fran?
Off the bat, TK, Penguins fans. Oh, my
Penguins
gosh.
Penguins fans.
So
okay.
I'll go back to high school. I played in a roller hockey tournament. And it was. Yeah.
I don't envision you as much of a blader.
A blader. Okay. Anyway, it was a hockey tournament in Pittsburgh. And just all the people there, they were looking at, because we were all coming from the Delco area, mm-hmm. and they looked at us and just with these I don't even know how to describe it. They didn't want to talk to us. They said stay away from us. It was very those type of vibes.
Really,
and look. I invite rivalries. I enjoy rivalries. I think they're fun. I enjoy them. So I can mess around. Like one of my good friends is a Mets fan. I can mess around. You know what I mean? And these people were just, I know it was a bad description of it. I can tell by your face.
Yeah, terrible.
But
terrible.
You know what I mean.
But very on brand, friend. If it wasn't terrible, it wouldn't be you. That's what makes you special.
But would you agree?
Just like running the ball is what makes Jalen special. You just giving awkwardly bad
takes.
Descriptions on air. That's what makes
that's
you special,
me.
Man.
That's
that,
me. Thanks, TK. I appreciate it.
That's why we like you.
Yep. Okay. Thank you for the dating advice, by the way.
There you go. Perfect. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Give us an annoying fan base as well. You're welcome to do that. When we get back, an update on A.J. Brown's status heading into the game on Sunday. That's coming up. I'm Tom Kelly with you till 7:30. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Sorry, with AJ with the nasal added to the report.
Yeah, he's obviously on there, and we'll see how today goes.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on a Thursday night, taking you up till 7:30. That was Nick Sirianni. Actually about 2 weeks ago. That was leading up to last week, I believe. Leading up to
that was the 27th of December.
Okay. So that was leading up to the Cowboys game. When A.J. Brown was first spotted on the injury report, A.J. obviously was able to play in that game. But A.J. Brown obviously missed last week's game against the Giants as the starters were sitting. Did not practice today. And this is after A.J. left practice almost immediately yesterday, where came out for about 10 minutes, walked off with a trainer. And, I mean, you can conclude make your own conclusions from that. I think it's probably that he went out there, felt it wasn't the best idea to go. I mean, as far as the Eagles are saying, this is part of the plan. Now, I want to know if you're concerned about A.J. Brown and his status going into Sunday. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494, I'm mildly concerned about this. I think A.J. will play. All the messaging that's out there right now from everybody around the Novacare complex, local and national guys, that A.J. is going to play. But you need A.J. Brown to be as close to 100% as possible. I mean, this is one of the best receivers in football. Even when he's not getting the ball, I mean, that threat is critical. I mean, it's a big reason why the idea of playing Saquon last week, where if you were going to play him, kind of need to play everybody, A.J. Brown included, because obviously Saquon has had an incredible season. A.J. Brown probably deserves an assist for some of that success. The ability of him to go downfield and make those big-time plays, that's something that you can't take for granted here. And you remember what this offense looked like in weeks 2 through 4 when A.J. wasn't out there. It wasn't the same. I mean, that Atlanta game, up and down. The New Orleans game, the offense was terrible. And the Tampa game, the offense wasn't very good. So I would absolutely expect A.J. to get back out there. But something else you got to be concerned about here is he and Jalen have not had reps together in about a month. And the Pittsburgh game was great. And the Pittsburgh game made everybody feel better about the Eagles' offense and about the Eagles' passing game. But let's not forget what the conversation was leading up to that game and what AJ's reaction was after the Carolina game. The passing offense was a problem. AJ was not as involved as he wanted to be. I think that's pretty clear. And the passing game just wasn't fully functioning. And without those guys having that time to get on the same page, and hey, it's not like they'd never played together before. I mean, Jalen and AJ have played a lot of football together, not sound the alarms and telling you the offense is going to be broken or anything like that, but something that's a little concerning heading into Sunday. Think AJ will play, but, you know, disappointing that he hasn't been able to get out there and practice with Jalen this week, considering all the time Jalen's missed in the last couple weeks. And I think another reason why you can't hold anything back whatsoever. You need to use your full complement in this game, and that's the question that we've been asking to start the show here. Is Jalen Hurts coming off the concussion, and as we reported at the top of the show here, Jalen, a full participant in practice on Thursday. He needs a final medical clearance. That should come tomorrow. If that does, Jalen will be on the field and start on Sunday. But should the Eagles dial it back? Should they have it in their mind going into this game as they assemble this game plan of we need to protect Jalen Hurts? I don't think you can. I don't think he can afford to do it. You need, if Jalen Hurts is playing, Jalen Hurts is playing. And he needs to be utilized in design runs. If the pocket breaks down, if the coverage breaks down, Jalen needs to take off. If it comes to a point where you're either sliding or you're going for a first down, Jalen needs to go for that first down. If he's playing, he needs to play. This is the playoffs, and these are the things that makes Jalen special. If he was a quarterback who had a lot of success sitting in the pocket and doing things that way, be a different story. That's not what Jalen's strength is. And as a pocket passer, Jalen is somewhat average. I mean, let's be honest about it. He needs to run. He needs to use his legs. That's what makes him special. You cannot take away what makes him a special player. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Also, a short show tonight. We're taking you up till 7:30. We'll have Notre Dame and Temple. Notre Dame and Penn State. We will never
have... That was a big matchup like 8 years ago.
I will make this declaration right now. I don't think Temple's ever going to be in a college football playoff semifinal. Okay?
Come on, man. That's how you speak about your program.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah, I hate about Westchester, man. We're Division II. You can do your team.
You got that good stuff if you think Temple's going to be in the semifinal.
I didn't say to next year. I'm saying, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just trying to help you.
Man. I don't think it's going to happen. But Notre Dame and Penn State, I think two of the most annoying fan bases in all sports. I wish both teams could lose. Unfortunately, somebody's got to win. And if somebody's got to win, I hope it's Notre Dame. I hate Penn State and dislike their fans that much. But give me an annoying fan base before the end of the show. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Doug in Lancaster. What's up, Doug?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for this game.
Yeah.
I wish it was happening today, but here we are.
So, well, Notre Dame Penn State's a nice little appetizer. Should be a good game tonight.
Yeah, I'm a UConn fan, so college football and me are more of a casual.
Well, we're in the same boat then, as me being a Temple fan, you being a UConn fan. You got a better chance than I do, but
yeah, hopefully someday. But yeah. I think with Jalen, we got to get him out there with one caveat. I think you know, in a world where he's trying to get that last yard that you don't really need, he's got to be smart so he doesn't get another head injury. The second one is the thing I'm most concerned about. So I agree with you. I think get him out there, get him into a rhythm, get him moving, get the offense, you know, out there quick start. But he's got to play like Jalen. Otherwise, you know, put a backup in there because that's not who we want.
No, Doug, and I think that's that's just what makes him a special player. And, you know, just like I mentioned in the first segment, like if you put Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen out there and you tell them the same thing of, oh, we want you to kind of sit back, not be as aggressive, not use your legs, I mean, they're not going to be as effective.
Yeah, I think it's just like a style of play. I totally agree with you. And honestly, you know, not to blow smoke up you here, but I think you've had the best take on this all week. I think you got to get him out there, get him in rhythm. it's not just that at all costs have him out there taking hits, but he is a guy that needs to get out there, get moving, and, you know, get into the flow of the game, because he starts slower than any quarterback that I can remember in Eagles history for a long period of time. And, you know, you got to get him moving, get us off to a hot start.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Doug. What do you got for an annoying fan base?
So forever I would have said the Cowboys. That's a little bit of a layup given the audience here. But I'm out on Jets fans. I love every single year for the last, I don't know, 10 years. This is their year.
Yeah.
It's all you hear is this blind optimism. And, you know, it's been fun watching Aaron Rodgers turn that franchise into a new version of a laughing stock.
Yeah, you know what, Doug? I like that one, man. And thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I like that one, Jets.
That's a good one.
Cowboys is like that. Like that's like a slam dunk answer. You know, everybody will say Cowboys, but Jets fans are funny because they're just so pathetic.
Although I did feel a little bad for them at the beginning of last year when Rodgers got hurt. A little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know what the saddest part is for Jets fans? As bad as you felt for them last year probably, or not probably, definitely was a better season for them than this year.
It's insane. Yeah.
When Rodgers was playing.
Right.
I mean, they had, what, Zach Wilson last year.
They
still found a way to win, like, seven games
with that team. It's incredible.
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
I did feel a little bad.
They're just so pathetic, and it is, like, that fan base, and there's one in every sport, and hey, maybe we're that fan base in basketball where you always will convince yourself, okay, well, this is the time it's going to be different. And I couldn't understand, even with Rodgers, people were like picking the Jets to go to the Super Bowl. Like, they were a pretty trendy pick to go to the Super Bowl before this year, before last year. It's like, they're the Jets. Not going to win anything. And now, I brought it up the other night, and they're interviewing Rex Ryan. Like, honestly, you deserve to be awful if you think, okay, we've been bad forever. You know what we're going to do? You know what? We need to go back to the glory days where Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez lucked out and got to the conference championship game a couple years.
And they had a chance. Didn't they like refuse to talk to Belichick? Like, Belichick wanted to talk to New York. And they were like, now we're okay.
From like way back. Well,
that was like 2 weeks ago, I thought that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Way back in the day, Belichick like took the Jets job for a day. And then
I didn't know that.
To go take the Patriots job, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, but like, I thought a couple weeks ago that came out and that was like a huge thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. No, they're idiots. They're a terrible organization. And yeah, I like seeing them suffer. Maybe that makes me a bad guy.
Yeah, that's a little, seeing them suffer, that's mean.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing other fan bases suffer. Let's go to David in Doylestown. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
We got to get it done, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do, David. If you don't, the season's over on Sunday. Of course they got to get it done.
Yes, sir. And, you know, you're on fire, Tom. I tell you, man.
Well, how you
I
feel?
Like what you're saying?
How you feeling about it, David? What do you think about this game?
I'm feeling good. I don't think anyone can beat us if we play our game. We have the right team. We have the right style. We can get it done. I don't think Jalen has to be Superman. We just have to go out there and roll like we've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, they've won 12 out of 13. Obviously, you'd hope
they can
continue rolling here, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. What do you got for an annoying fan base, David?
Oh, man. Well, I hate to throw my brother out there, but I can't stand people who live in places that they have no connection with the teams they root for. My brother is a San Francisco fan and a Yankees fan, and he lives in Georgia. I can't stand it. I was taught to... You know, you root for the team in the community you live in.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, David. I appreciate the call. I want a particular fan base, what we're looking for. I get what David's saying, but...
It's not a bad answer, but I know what you're saying. Also, like, I mean, I'm a Duke fan, so he probably hates me.
Well, that's like you. You're one of these frauds. You're a Duke fan. You're a Diamondbacks fan.
Oh, right, Diamondbacks. You're going to spread lies. Go ahead. Spread those lies.
You are a Diamondbacks
fan. No, it was fine up until you said Diamondbacks. Now we got to, no.
Yeah, so, no, but of course, yeah. You should be a fan of the team who you grew up watching. At least that's the way I'm not talking about you, Fran.
I don't know. We were talking about me for a second.
I think you're a Phillies fan, but I'm not 100% sure.
Never mind. I love
great. There you go. Great input on the show. I don't know the word I was looking for exactly there, but nicely done by both of us. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Back to the phones in a second here, but it's time for What to Watch For. What to Watch For is brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Contribution, by the way. That was the word I was looking for that I couldn't find.
Congratulations. So I'm so glad you finally got it.
I had to circle back. It would have bothered me if I didn't point it out. But speaking of contributions, Jason Kelsey contributing to the morning show this morning, and Jason doing his weekly appearance on the morning show, gave his prediction for Eagles-Packers on Sunday.
You know, two great teams. I mean, you're going to play great teams at this point in the season. I like the Eagles. I think it'll be a close game, but I think the Eagles will win. Being at home, I just think that they have better players across the board.
Yep.
You know, I think there's a wild card out there with LaFleur, and some of me still thinks to that like Dallas game last year and that game plan that he put together and how they just blew the doors off of them, and maybe that's kind of clouding my judgment a little bit, but I just think the Eagles are the best team. I think they're peaking at the right moment, and they're so much better than they were earlier in the year, and both teams are, but especially the Eagles, and they beat them earlier in a neutral site. So at home, how much they've improved. I think the birds, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles win too here, but I'll disagree with Jason on one thing is I don't think the Packers are better than they were at the beginning of the year. And I brought this up the other night when I was on with Ashlyn. I think we've gotten to the point where we've overrated the Packers a little bit. Like, I think they're a good team. Like, they're certainly a worthy playoff team, and they're probably better than your typical 7 seed would be. That being said, I mean, they don't have great wins on their schedule. I've seen people cite, 5 of their 6 losses before last week, they lost 2 to the Lions, 2 to the Vikings, 1 to the Eagles. But you look at their best win. I mean, they beat the Rams by 5. I don't think the Rams are very good. They beat Houston at home by 2. Houston, I mean, is a team that I think is underwhelmed and offensively has not played very good football throughout the course of the season here. So I think we've overrated the Packers a little bit, and I think we've overrated Matt LaFleur a little bit. And this is something that I'll talk about a lot when I'm back on tomorrow night. I'll be back on 6 to 10 tomorrow night getting you ready for the game as well, Sunday morning with Al. But I think the Eagles have the coaching advantage in this game. I really do. I think with Matt LaFleur, he's one of these guys you look at, and I think it's because he calls plays, because he runs the offense. Like, Matt LaFleur is one of these innovative, you know, one of the best coaches in the league. Matt LaFleur in playoff games has had a pretty rough go of it. I mean, he's made some bad decisions in postseason games, has lost, some really high-profile ones. They had a Sunday night game at home where they were the one seed. They lost to San Francisco. Their offense couldn't do anything. In the 2020 season, just very conservative. If you remember, he kicked a field goal when they could have gone for a fourth down to, I think, either tie or take the lead in that game. And last year in San Francisco, where the Packers were very much in that game, had some conservative decision-making as well. And I'll give the edge to Nick Sirianni, man. Like, I trust Nick Sirianni in those spots to be aggressive, to have a good feel, and to, you know, make those right calls in those situations. And I think when you look at it again, a lot of it comes down to you tend to give the edge to a coach who runs an offense, calls plays. But I think that's changing in the league. Like, I saw a tweet from Zach Berman the other day from PHLY who said 7 head coaches in the NFL right now have 12-plus wins this season. And 5 of them are guys in this, like, CEO-type role. Only 2 of them called plays. 5 of the top 8 active coaches in the NFL with the highest win percentage do not call plays. Like, that is the norm in the NFL these days. So I don't think you should just give Matt LaFleur an edge just because he's a guy who runs an offense and calls plays. The CEO type, the kind of, you know, all overseeing type head coach, I think, is becoming more the norm. You look at the Dan Campbells of the world, you know, coaches like that. Sean McDermott, I know he's involved with the defense, with Buffalo calls the defense, but he's not like this offensive innovator. John Harbaugh, you know, I think a lot of these guys are kind of demonstrating that this is the way to go about it as well. And I'll take Nick Sirianni over Matt LaFleur going into this game. Let's go to Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam?
TK, my brother from another mother.
Bam, what's going on, man? Thanks again for the pizza the other night, man. That thing was enormous. Unbelievable. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, man. I mean, I'm glad you guys like it. So before I get my point, Tom, make sure you wash your hands and Clorox the studio. Because, Fred, I love you, bro. But your top five the other day when you said you pick your nose. Oh, my God.
That was a rough look for Fran, Bam. I try to look out for Fran. That was a rough look
for
him.
I do try to look out for that.
But getting into tonight's Orange Bowl, I didn't go to Penn State. I'm not a Penn State fan, nor Notre Dame fan. I am a Virginia Tech fan, so I am rooting for neither one. I'm rooting for Texas tomorrow.
Well, how'd you become a Virginia Tech fan, Bam?
Winter.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, there you go. That's a good reason. Nice.
Yeah, I went there.
Good stuff. Yeah. What do you got for an annoying fan base?
Annoying fan base? The Mets.
The Mets, that's a good one. There you go, Bam.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Well, appreciate it, Bam. Thanks. Thanks for the call. And Mets and Jets, I guess you can just lump them in together, right?
Yeah.
Usually there's an overlap with Mets and Jets fans. There are some weird ones, like my cousin's husband is a Mets fan and a Giants fan, but I feel like that's not the norm.
I think you're right. It's usually Mets and Jets. Yeah, it's usually like the little brother.
Giants, Yankees, and then Mets and Jets. So that's a good one. 215-592-9494. One more segment coming up for me here, taking you all the way up till 7:30, though, so plenty of time to get in some more calls. Talking about Jalen Hurts, should the Eagles dial it back heading into the game on Sunday, or do you let him go? I think you got to let him go. Jalen Hurts is only special if he's using his legs. You got to utilize him to the full extent of his power. So you want to get in on that, you're welcome to. Most annoying fan bases in honor of Penn State Notre Dame coming up at 7:30 here on the station. When we get back, we'll hear from Saquon Barkley, who spoke after practice today about the value of getting rest last week instead of playing. So we'll get to that coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm taking you up until 7:30 tonight. College football semifinal at that time. Penn State, Notre Dame. The winner will play the winner of Ohio State, Texas next week. I guess that would be next Monday night, typically when they do the championship game. And I'll just say this. I'm not a big Ohio State guy either. I don't really
like Jolly.
I don't really care about Jolly's Ohio State fandom. But I just don't really like Ryan Day. And I don't like Chip. Like, I don't like Chip. He's their OC. That being said, I will root for whoever wins tomorrow night, regardless of what happens tonight. I'm rooting for Notre Dame, though, in this game. I don't like Penn State. And I do kind of like Marcus Freeman. Notre Dame's coach Marcus Freeman is likable. James Franklin is not likable at all. I mean, that's another thing about Penn State I just can't stand. I mean, James Franklin is such a jerk. And I get annoyed by both these fan bases. What are you doing in there? What was that?
It's Phil Casey. He's walking down the hall there now. He makes faces at me, and he makes me do weird things. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I asked. Again, great contribution.
I put that in a very
show.
Wrong way too, and I didn't mean it that way.
Well,
I know.
Well
I did. Yeah,
it's
our friendship. You're my mentor here at WIP for sure. But Phil was my original mentor at KYW.
You're just knocking it out of the park tonight.
That's what I do.
What can I say? You're doing a great job. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But annoying fan bases, most annoying fan bases in sports, with Penn State and Notre Dame going at it tonight, and obviously talking a lot of Eagles Packers. Eagles and Packers Sunday 4:30 will be on tomorrow night, 6 to 10, and on that morning, the pregame show with Al Morgani getting you ready. But as we go into this game, considering Jalen Hurts' status, considering he's come back from a concussion, a lot of the conversation today has been about what the Eagles' offensive approach should be. Should they dial it back, or should they just go into this game and use Jalen Hurts as they typically use him? And I think you need to use him as you typically use him. And I'd even take it up a notch, man, because one of the things this year that has been inconsistent has been Jalen Hurts in the running game. This offense is clearly at its best when Jalen Hurts is running the football and when they have designed runs for Jalen. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again. Early in this game, I would not feed Saquon Barkley. I wouldn't. I would use Saquon Barkley, you know, less than normal on the first two drives of this game, because my focus is getting Jalen Hurts into a rhythm, whether that's throwing the ball, getting designed passes where he can get the ball out quickly, he knows where it's got to go, getting him into the flow in the pass game. We saw the Eagles make a concerted effort to do that against Pittsburgh, and it worked perfectly. They got Jalen going in the passing game, one of his best passing games, passing performances all season long. I would get him first play from scrimmage. I am designing a run for Jalen Hurts. I think you need to get him in the flow in the game. You need to show the Packers that this is a full-strength Jalen. He's going to be running the ball.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
He's going to be using his legs. And again, man, the biggest thing is that Jalen, if he does not run, if he does not use his legs, he is an average quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback, but he is average. When he is able to run and he uses his legs and he's a factor in the running game, that's what makes him special. And it's not a negative. It's not any different than Lamar Jackson. It's not any different than Josh Allen. All of these guys need their legs to be effective. All these guys need to run, need to have that threat of running the football. You throw Jaden Daniels in there as well to, you know, reach their full capabilities and to make them a special quarterback and a quarterback who needs to be feared. That's what the Eagles need to do. They need to unleash Jalen, run the ball early with him, get him into a rhythm throwing the ball, and you'll get Saquon involved as the game goes on, but I'm not coming out thinking we need to feed Saquon early. That's what the Packers think you're going to do. The Packers think you're going to hammer Saquon. And after what he did to them in week one, I guarantee you, they have had in their meetings all week, how do we shut down 26? How do we shut down Saquon Barkley? I'm worried about Jalen. I'm getting Jalen into a rhythm early. Saquon will be fine. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in a minute here, we will get to what Saquon Barkley had to say today about having the week off last week instead of playing against the Giants. But first, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Glenn in Georgia. What's up, Glenn?
Yo, what's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I don't think we're going to have to worry about the Eagles testing Jalen early, because I think the Packers are probably going to come after him, test them themselves. Like, they're going to want to see where he's at. And that's just my opinion. And, yeah, if he's not ready, he shouldn't be playing. And that's just my humble opinion. If he can't be the guy that we expect him to be every week, you know, we have a really good backup quarterback with a really good line and a good running game and awesome wide receivers. You know, maybe we rest him if he's not ready yet.
Well, that's the thing, Glenn. I think he is ready. Like, he's practiced fully today. As long as he clears his final test tomorrow, medically, yeah, he should be good to go. But yeah, I think if he is not able to use his legs, or the Eagles would be worried about him using his legs or taking hits or running the ball, he's not a lot better than the other quarterbacks on the roster. He is when he can do all the things he's able to do, but if you're worried about him doing those things, he's not that significantly better than those other guys.
Yeah, no, he is. I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, it's not a knock on Jalen, but, you know, I think it's not news to anybody that Jalen's, you know, his secret sauce is his ability to run the ball. He's an average. He's just a maybe slightly above average passer, but he holds the ball way too long. And that is something that, you know, gets him in trouble a lot. A lot of time that leads to him having to exit the pocket. And when he exits the pocket, you know, a lot of time instead of – he does slide. But sometimes when he gets that chance to open the burners, he doesn't slide. You know, he goes for that extra yard, and that's when he takes damage. And, man, you know, we'll see. I think they're going to test him early. I think they're going to come after him. And if it's anything like week one, man, they beat the hell out of him, you know. Mm-hmm. They really did. They smacked him around. And if he is fragile right now, you know, you might be seeing that number two come in there. And, you know, which after seeing the Giants game, I'm okay with that. Like, I seen him last year. And when they picked up Pickett, I was like, why the heck are they picking up this, you know, Pickett when they got this kid that's crazy accurate? But yeah. Now I have a theory on that.
What's that?
Well, my theory is that, you know, Howie Slick, man. I don't know how he does it, but that dude, I believe he identified the talent with this kid, whether it's through scouts or I have no idea, but they saw how good this guy is. And if you listen to all the players in the locker room, they were crazy about McKee. They see him every day. And, you know, Howie picked up some talent. And I think that they brought in Pickett to, one, create a buffer of controversy between Hurts and this kid, which now the cat's out of the bag. But, you know, at the same time, you can't put that kid on the practice squad, because then someone could pick him up and take him. So he was kind of just like hiding. You know what I mean? Like they were just hiding him in that third spot, and it was low key until last week.
No, I hear you, Glenn. And hey, man, I got to run. Appreciate the call. Hey, I mean, there's no quarterback controversy with Jalen and Tanner McKee. Like, there's not. I mean, Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback, and if Jalen Hurts is good to go, he will be the quarterback. I know, like, somebody had called me earlier this week and said, well, if Jalen struggles, do you pull him? Jalen's not getting pulled, okay? If Jalen exits the game, it's because he gets injured. It's not a situation where they do that. But, again, when you look at the strengths of the players, if Jalen is not using his legs, I'm not sure how much better he is than Tanner McKee is. And again, that's not a slight on Jalen. That's just the reality of the situation. Like, Jalen Hurts, in his time in Philadelphia, he's made incredible strides throwing the ball. I mean, I think back to that first game that Jalen started against the Saints in 2020 when Carson Wentz was benched. I mean, Jalen really could not do much through the air at all in that game. I mean, he was almost singularly a runner at that point. He's not that anymore. I mean, he's made great strides in his ability to throw, but being a pocket passer, being a guy who's going to sit back there and pick apart a defense, that's not his game. Like, that is not what Jalen does well. And you are at a point in the season now, entering the playoffs here, where you don't have time to mess around. Like, you don't have time to try stuff. This isn't week five against the Browns where, okay, well, we want to get the passing game going, or the Carolina game late in the year where we're going to have these long developing pass routes and we're going to let Jalen sit back in the pocket. That is not what Jalen does effectively. You got to do what gets Jalen Hurts playing at his best. And when Jalen is playing at his best, he's running the football, whether it's design runs or breaking the pocket. It's when you are dialing things up for him where you can get him to get the ball out quickly. He knows where the ball's supposed to go. He can get in rhythm. And I do think with Jalen, he's kind of like a three-point shooter a little bit, who when he gets hot, it kind of gets rolling. I mean, you saw it a few times this year. And I think the three games that I can think of where it was evident that the start he got off to set the tone for the entire game was the Cincinnati game, the Los Angeles Rams game, and that Pittsburgh game, where Jalen had great first drives. And I know in two of those games, they only came away with a field goal against the Bengals and the Rams. But just the way he was playing, the way he was in control of the offense, it set the tone for the rest of the game. And the Eagles might not be able to afford a slow start on Sunday. Like, this is a Packer team where they are kind of the antithesis of the Eagles. They've made their living by getting off to fast starts. They've made their living jumping on teams by double digits early. And to get the most out of Jalen in this offense, you need to get him into a rhythm. I think you do that by getting him designed runs, dialing things up in the passing game where he knows where the ball's supposed to go, like you did against Pittsburgh. And again, first play of the game, man, I am dialing up a design run for Jalen Hurts. I am sending a message to the Green Bay Packers that this is 100% of our quarterback. He is going to play the way he typically plays. We're going to be able to pull anything out of our playbook that we want to play and that we want to run, and that's what we're going to do, and that's the way the Eagles need to handle it. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Paul in Ridley Park. What's up, Paul?
What's up, Tom? How you doing?
Good, man.
I've been going through the ebbs and flows all week of what I think is going to happen this weekend with the Birds. And I can't help but think, you know, I'm a little worried, I'm not worried, a little worried, but I got to say, it's going to come down to the trenches. Our guys are better than their guys. We are going to dominate them in the trenches, more physicality, and we are just going to dominate them. Now, I want to say, this whole week, it brings me back to the last time I was at a playoff game. I was at the playoff game against the Packers at the Link when Michael Vick was on the team. The Eagles ended up losing.
Yep.
Right?
I was at that game as well, Paul.
Now, let's say, for instance, you know, Sirianni, we know he could be somewhat dopey sometimes with his decision-making or what have you. Let's say, you know, and I like your point, let's say they don't get Jalen off to a hot start. Let's say they don't feed Jalen the ball early. Let's say that rust is a factor and Jalen just isn't Jalen. And this game gets close. To my point, that playoff game, David Akers missed two pivotal field goals, makeable field goals in that game, that arguably cost them the game in that playoff game against the Packers. Now, I think, let's say that there's rust on Jalen. If this game is closer than what we think, and it comes down to Elliott, who has struggled from 50-plus yards, let's say it comes down to him making a big kick. What is our confidence level in this guy making a big kick?
Yeah, Paul,
I know the defensive line and the offensive line are going to bring the tenacity. But what's going to happen if it comes down to this guy needing a big kick where he's coming clutch in the past,
well, Paul,
but not quite this year?
It's a fair point, Paul. And here's where I am with Jake Elliott at this point. Like, I'm still pretty confident. Like, he's gone through spells before in his career where he struggled. I mean, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, if you remember, he went through struggles that year with making extra points. And this has been kind of like an issue at times for him. I will say this year it's gone on longer than it has in the past.
A little worse than usual.
Right. But I still, man, I don't know why, I'm still confident that if he goes out there, he needs to make a big kick on Sunday. I think he'll make it.
I like the big play idea. Toss one up to AJ early. You know what I mean? Get him involved and, you know, get him involved. Get Devontae in the slot on some slant routes early and, you know, maybe get Jalen, get him the feel back, you know what I mean? But what worries me is it coming down to a big kick and, you know, can we really trust this guy who's been shaky all year?
I got you, Paul. What do you got for an annoying fan base?
Oh, Tom, I can't stand it on a Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock Flyers game, when all these Rangers fans take the Amtrak down and they take over. Now, but let me tell you something. The Flyers haven't been good in recent history. Mm-hmm. The Flyers, we're going to turn it around. The Flyers are going to make a comeback. We're going to get better, and then that stuff is going to stop. But there's nothing more annoying than Rangers fans coming down and taking over the arena and chanting their chants.
Well, there you go.
I boo them every time.
Well, there you go, Paul. Appreciate the call, man. Rangers fans at a Saturday matinee at the Wells Fargo. Nobody likes that.
Not at all. At least the Rangers aren't that good this year.
Fran, what's your level of confidence in Jake Elliott going into Sunday?
I feel like I know you're confident. I wish I had your confidence. It's just been start to finish this year almost.
Yeah, man. But I mean, the guy's got an 8-year resume.
I know he
being
does.
One of
you're
the
right.
best kickers
it's a
in
good
football.
Point. No, you're right. It's a good point. This is how I feel, right? I'm not confident, but I would not be surprised if he got it together in the playoffs and he was the Jake Elliott of old.
Yeah, and I think he will. I made the prediction the other night. I think he's going to make a 50-plus yarder on Sunday. He hasn't done it all year. I think Sunday's the day he gets
it. I need
it.
Now, obviously, I don't want it to go down wire to wire, but if it were to be that way.
If they're down one and he's lined up for a 51-yarder with the season on the line.
And he makes it, and that just, you know what I mean?
But like, that would be terrifying.
It would be terrifying. Man. But you're confident, right? You're confident.
Now that I'm thinking about being in that position. When I said he'd make a 50-plus yarder, I'm not talking about with the game on the line.
I hear you, but now that it's the game on the line.
That would be pretty scary.
Jake has a clutch resume, too.
So, yes, he does.
You know, all right, I'm trying to make the case. So I'm trying to help you out.
I wasn't jumping on you, Fran.
I know.
I just got a little extra energy these days because, as I said the other night, you know, we just had the third kid. This is like vacation for me coming to work. I mean, my house is crazy right now. I got a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a little baby. I mean, I got a lot of energy doing these shows.
It's a lot of people in that house, man.
Jeez. A lot of kids in that house.
Get your break where you can get it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We will break down the Penn State-Notre Dame game before we get out of here. But first, you know, obviously last week the big topic conversation was Saquon Barkley not playing, getting that week of rest. Here was Saquon after practice today talking about how much he feels that can benefit these guys moving forward.
Anytime you can get rest and let your body recover a little bit, it definitely helps. But it's a good thing because we were part of self position where we were able to rest and get ourselves prepared for the run. The focus go to Green Bay and the week of preparation that we've had. I think we've had a great week of preparation up to this point. Up these next two or three days, it's going to finish run.
So that's Saquon saying, you know, the bye he thinks will be beneficial. He thinks it'll be good for these guys. And let's stop with the rushing record. This is one thing, a preemptive social media gripe right now. Whether the Eagles win or lose, but especially if they lose on Sunday, I don't want to see anybody crying about the rushing record, okay?
It does. Yeah, you weren't here for the rushing record, right? For that week, you had the baby.
No, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
And I had a bunch of takes that I had to fire off to my wife, who was tired of hearing it. Because I don't, like, I'm so tired of hearing people cry about this rushing record, okay? The goal is to win a Super Bowl. And this is the only question that I have for people out there. Does them not playing last week put them in a better position to win a Super Bowl or put them in a worse position to win a Super Bowl? Better position, right? Would you argue that, Fran? It puts them in a better position.
100%.
By resting these guys.
Can I say it real quick? The whole thing of that people have been saying, like, oh, well, if they don't win the Super Bowl, then we screwed Saquon.
Oh, it's so dumb.
That's like, honestly, that might be a top three worst
even,
illogical takes of all time.
Even
it's
if the
awful.
Even if the Eagles lose this week, sitting Saquon was the right decision.
1,010%. 1,010%.
Right. Like,
it's not even close.
If they would have still needed to win the Super Bowl if they won last week.
It's about giving yourself the best chance to win in the playoffs is not about, oh, well, if you didn't win the...
And
it's about the... Okay, go ahead.
No. And I was just going to say, though, it's not just about, oh, well, guys could get injured. Sure. And, you know, guys could get injured. They could come out fine. Like, both of these results were possible last week. The Eagles could have played their starters in that game and won the Super Bowl. Sure. They could have done both. They could rest their guys last week and lose on Sunday. Either are true. But what is indisputable is that every organization in sports, right, they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars of researching how do we get the best performance from our athletes when we need them to perform their best. And all that research tells the Eagles the best thing to do is to sit their guys. What are they supposed to do? Is say, oh, well, you know, we have all this evidence that says we're in a better position to win the Super Bowl if we sit. But we're going to play him. Why not? We might be able to do both. It's stupid. It was a stupid argument. And
stupid.
I know this is a week-old argument. I'm sorry to rehash it, but I couldn't get this take out last week. it's just been driving me nuts. Just last thing on the Saquon thing. Just
yeah,
had
no,
to get
no,
that
no.
Out.
Thank you. I need to hear your take because you weren't here that week.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Thanks, friend. I know you were dying to hear my Saquon take.
Did you tweet it out at all?
Yeah,
you probably did. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, I still had the Twitter, Twitter where I could get my takes off, but it's different. It's different.
I know. Well, you should have took a video.
Yeah.
You should have took a video of yourself.
I could have done a video.
You know? You could have got all fired up.
Yeah.
Like, I just had the baby, but more importantly, the Saquon.
Yeah. I've got these kids running around. If my wife walks in on me filming a video about Saquon's rushing record.
Hey, what we do for content.
Yeah. I don't think that would have gone over all that well. Let's go to Barry. What's up, Barry?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Listen, I can't disagree with you anymore. First off, a couple things. Jalen Hurts is coming off of a concussion. The last thing you want to do is on the first play expose him to another hit. That's number one. Number two, you got the best offensive line in football and the best running back in football to take them and put them kind of on the back burner so you can get Jalen Hurts off when you've won about 12 games this year based off of Saquon Barkley rushing the ball. Him being the number one option is just not, to me, is not good football.
Barry, I hear you, but I'll counter with this. Like, the three best games the Eagles have had offensively all year, I'd say were the Cincinnati game, the Rams game, and the Pittsburgh game, and they were games when Jalen started great early in the game. Like, shouldn't that be a focal point?
No, because history's already shown you that you won more games with Saquon running the ball, being the first option to rush the ball, and Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae being kind of the other options once that defense starts to focus on Saquon. So the RPO isn't even going to work that well unless Saquon is getting off. So the first thing you want to do is use your offensive line, which everybody thinks is the best in football. Rush behind them. Once that safety comes up, once they start stacking that box, then you open it up for the passing lane and for the RPOs, and then you run them out. And think about it, too.
But Barry, Saquon torched them in week one. Wait, what makes you think they're not going to take that approach to start the game?
If they already have the 8-man in the box, then that's one thing, but you got to set the tone. You set the tone by rushing Saquon. And Green Bay hasn't beaten, like, two good playoff teams all season. So I have no faith in them, like, coming in trying to shut down Saquon or having a good game plan for Saquon. They haven't done nothing all year. Who have they beaten?
Did they beat? Yeah, their two best wins are the Rams and Texans.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So to me, you just play it safe. Keep Jalen safe behind that offensive line. Rush the ball with Saquon. Get out of here with a 17-13 win.
Well, I got you, Barry. What's your annoying fan base?
The fan base in Reading, PA, there's an AAU team up there, 15 and under.
Oh, my God.
You cannot be serious!
And they have reclassified kids, and the parents think that they're the same age as everybody else, and that's how they talk. So they're the most annoying fan base to me.
All right. Thanks, Barry. I appreciate the call. So, what, a little league team? I respect it, though. I respect the, you know.
Did you like my answer, though? I talked about...
You said the Penguins.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, that was a totally different thing. But
okay, never mind.
I mean, as for what? Barry's goal was to win 17-13 and to play it safe? We're not playing it safe. This is the playoffs. Come on, man. Appreciate the call, Barry, but disagree. Let's get to Ephraim in West Philly. What's up, Ephraim?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Doing well. So I want to talk about when you said not to... not to like ride Saquon because they'll know, but I see it, even if they do know, can they stop it? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think they can stop our run game. So until the run game, like, and I'm not saying don't utilize Jalen Hurts at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying don't let him run. That's not what I'm getting at. But what I am saying is, it doesn't have to be Superman Jalen. It doesn't have to be. But I really do think that we can just run right all over them if we want. I really do.
Yeah, and I hope that's the case, man, and I think you're going to be able to get Saquon going. I just think if you get Jalen going early, you add that extra dimension, then I just don't know what the Packers do to stop you.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, But I think we should establish the run first, like the run first, because especially if we go with Jalen first, I think they already got Nehemiah, okay, we're going to injure him. But if we utilize Saquon first, keep utilizing Saquon, and then do the RPO, and then get them off guard, I think that'll work a lot better. I think it'll make a lot more sense.
Well, I hope so, man. Nathan, appreciate the call, man. I got to run. I'm up against it. You're welcome to get back in tomorrow night, though. We can talk a little longer. I'll be back on 6-10 tomorrow night. But real quick, got to break down this Penn State-Notre Dame game. And I think this is going to be a tight game tonight, but I'm taking Notre Dame to win. I'm going to go 25-22. And I'll just predict, this is my only prediction for the game. James Franklin will screw this thing up, okay? James Franklin is going to make a decision that is going to blow the game for Penn State tonight. And I can't wait to see it happen. That's my bold prediction. I really hope it happens. I can't stand them. I can't stand Penn State. Begrudgingly, I will say go Irish. And I think the Notre Dame Fighting Irish win 25-22. That's my prediction tonight, friend.
Because you're Irish.
So there you go. I don't like the Irish Notre Dame fans just because of their Irish thing. But
right.
Anyway, thank you to Francisco Rojas for producing the show. I'll be back on tomorrow night from 6 to 10. Then I will be on Sunday morning from 10 to 1 alongside Al Morgani, reunited before the pregame show, getting you set for Eagles-Packers Sunday. Stay tuned. Penn State, Notre Dame, coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.